Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
The Mets on Sunday beat the Rockies. As Al and I were discussing, Juan Soto, now that the Knicks are out, picked a nice time to start to hit the baseball. He did it all weekend long.
3-2, the payoff pitch. Swing and a drive in the air, pretty well hit, right center, going back, Freeman still going, it is gone! A line drive home run by Juan Soto as he hits it to the far edge of the Mets bullpen towards right center field. And so Juan Soto has homered for the second consecutive game.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose on Mets Odyssey
Juan
Radio.
Soto!
You also had home runs from Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso on the Mets beat the Rockies 5-3. Colorado now 9-50 on the season. Here was Soto. We won this thing as a group.
It's not only about us three. It's all about the whole team. When everybody comes through, the dugout was always happy. We always sharing talks and really enjoying the moment. You know, at the end of the day, definitely we all want to come through, but every day is going to be a different guy.
What do you think, Todd Frazier, like the way he drops to a knee, or was the Frazier one a little more extreme?
Well, the Frazier one I think was more extreme, but I've seen that before from him, but it is weird. It's a strange look, especially when it's in slow motion or when they stop it and you actually see his knee touching the ground.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is the pitcher had his knee down on the ground as well after he threw. And SNY showed a shot yesterday where they both were on the knee at the same time. I think Gary said they're both praying. One for it to go out and the other for it to stay
in. For it to not go out. Exactly.
But God was on Juan Soto's side. Oh,
that's what it was. Yes. The Mets went 7-2 on the nine-game homestand. Here was Francisco Lindor.
Fantastic. It's a good start to the month. Everybody came out and gave everything they had, and now we off to a long road trip, I guess. So it's a happy flight. Enjoy tonight and focus on where we've got next.
And now they should be sleeping in Los Angeles as we speak, as they will play later tonight. Clay Holmes, by the way, 7 innings for the win. Happy to get that deep into the game. First time he's gone 7.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get deep in the games. You know, our bullpen's been great. But you know, for that to be sustainable, you know, I know that, you know, we need some innings out of the starters. And, you know, for me to go out there and get some length, it feels good.
Yeah, and it certainly helped out. Edwin Diaz, a nice easy ninth inning, got the save. He's been, he looks like himself from a few years ago.
Yes, he does.
He has been fantastic. Paul Blackburn makes his first start of the season tonight in L.A. against Dustin May on 880 AM Mets Odyssey Radio. That is a 10-10 start, and the Mets one game ahead of the Phillies atop the NL East as they were swept away by the Brewers. And then how many times do you think over the years we watched Jacob DeGrom pitch, did we hear this? DeGrom went 6 as the Rangers beat the Cardinals 8-1, but had to battle through.
it's what you can do in those where you don't feel so great. Like I said, I was fighting myself. They scored early, and I was like, all right, we got to figure out a way to get these guys out. And, you know, that's what I tried to do for the rest of the game.
And I know there was a moment in the first or second inning where they had to come out and make sure he was okay physically.
I mean, it's unbelievable that this is – I mean, he went through that whole thing where they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him, and he kept going on the IL, and I think he was just afraid that he was going to get a major injury before hitting free agency.
Yep.
And then he did get the major injury after he signed in free agency.
Correct. So. But pretty good now, as he has really pitched well of late. In golf, Scottie Scheffler is your winner. Here's how it sounded on CBS at the Memorial.
The man is a machine. Scottie Scheffler, the repeat champion at Jack's event.
That seemed like he said that with some great...
No, he loves Scotty. Yeah, he loves Scotty.
Well, so does Jack Nicklaus. I played the clips last hour of Nicklaus essentially crushing the leaderboard. But just in terms of Scheffler and his dominance, Nicklaus kind of marvels at him.
He reminds me so much of the way I like to play. And, you know, I don't think I played nearly as well as he played. He's played better than I played and more consistent.
Yeah, and one other one on the leaderboard. Wow. I mean, I kind of slug this Jack Nicklaus. These other guys stink. Here's Nicklaus.
Just asked Scotty if he watched the leaderboard. He says, yeah, I do. I said, well, I did too. I always watched the leaderboard and found out what my competition was. And I always felt like what level I had to play to fight that competition off. And sometimes you'd have to fight it off because you knew they'd self-destruct. And so, you know, so you just don't make dumb mistakes and play solid golf and you win.
And that's what he did.
That's like the guys I play on Sunday morning. They get off to a good start. They're like, don't worry.
They're not coming back.
Yeah, he's going to self-destruct at some point.
There's no way he's making it 18 holes.
Yeah, right. There's no shot. Like, this was a nice little start. It was cute, but it's going right down the drain.
It's
going
to go south quickly. And the Stanley Cup Finals Wednesday, where you talk about not watching the basketball. I mean... Not that these aren't great teams, but Edmonton and Florida is not exactly a ratings bonanza.
Basically, a rematch is what it is. And I'm not saying it's going to be a ratings bonanza, but I'll tell you, for those of us who are hockey fans, I want to see Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl see if they can go get the cup and see if they can get it away from Florida, who added Brad Marchand. These guys, and Florida looks like they're totally healthy going into this. So for those of us who love the sport, I will watch this thing from start to finish, and I can't wait to see what it looks like.
I have no doubts, and I think both of these series are going to be fun to watch. I just don't think much of America is going to watch either of them.
The point being, I think OKC is so much better than Indiana. I could see that a 4-1. I could see this thing going 7 between
Florida last year.
Yeah. I mean, they're just going to go back and forth, but you know, remember Florida get out to a 3-0 lead last year. That I don't think that's going to happen.
Are you flashing me? You want some?
Am I flashing? I'm not sure. Am I?
I'm going to button those.
Oh, I'm sorry. Button there. Sorry.
Ooh. I got a little nip slip from Boomer.
Wardrobe malfunction. Yeah, look at that.
So anyway, I do think.
So anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, I think the hockey fan will definitely get into this.
I was into you.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
You see a little hair on that chest? Not much. No, not much?
Not much.
Interesting.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
One that we did leave off, Hoff, both of us, Zoolander. I did not like it. Did you see it? Did you like that movie?
I liked Will Ferrell in that. Okay. I didn't like Ben Stiller in that.
Okay. All right. Enough of that nonsense. Now, I know it took me a few hours here, but this baseball brief is brought to you by Guinness Stout Soda. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, oh, baby, Juan Soto is back. I told you last week, in spite of hitting some dribblers against the White Sox, the shuffle was there. The shuffle was there. That's been the thing I've been waiting for since the beginning of the season with Juan Soto. I wanted to see the shuffle because it's not about the numbers and the back speed and all the expected slugging versus the actual. I don't want to hear that. I need to see Juan Soto being himself. And it starts with the shuffle. You saw the shuffle against the White Sox. Then you had Soto stand in front of the camera and microphone and say, I haven't been good. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact quote, but taking accountability. Haven't been good enough. It'll come. As accountable and confident as anybody could be. Then you saw the weekend against the Rockies. Home run on Saturday. Sunday, I was there on hand at the Cadillac Club, front row, watching Juan Soto do his work in right field. He was joking, laughing, interacting the entire game to a level that I've never actually seen before, going to all the games I had in my life from a player and fans like that. Something he did last year in the Bronx. Not sure if he's been doing it this year, but I saw him do it. Didn't look like he was an unhappy player to me. What happens? He homers. The results follow. Now you're seeing more shuffles. You saw it last night with the three walks. Even with, now obviously he's had some success against the Dodgers, the two-run homer against Kershaw, the double the night before, the walks last night. But forget the walks, forget the homers, forget the results. I see Soto. I see Soto. He's happy. He's producing. He's shuffling. He is back. He's flipping bottles and having fun. He's himself. Also, I referenced this on Sunday, or actually on Monday, but the game happened Sunday. After his home run on Sunday, Francisco Lindor, to his credit, tried to get Soto to do the celebration pose for the camera and all that stuff that the Mets do after they had a home run. Soto declined. Good for Lindor to encourage. Even better for Soto being true to himself. You don't have to like it. Let them do it. You don't have to hate on it either. But you don't have to be a part of it. Be you, big boy. And now we're starting to see what Juan Soto looks like when he
he's happy. When he's happy, we're happy. Soto. And by the way, it wasn't even about Juan Soto. Pete Alonso flexing his muscle yet again. Now, it helps Soto getting on in front of him and Pete doing the damage. Okay, you're going to walk Soto? Look out. The Mets have looked the Dodgers straight in the eye and have shown them who's the better team. On Tuesday, I think it was, I said the Mets have closed the gap. Whatever the day is that we, BT and I had that discussion. Mets have closed the gap. Today, on Thursday, I think the Mets are better. Now, the Dodgers are going to get healthier and they're dangerous and you respect the champion. I think the Mets are the better team. The Mets have faced the Dodgers. Now, they've already won the season series 2 out of 3 last time. They've taken the first 2 out of 3 here. Look to make it 3 out of 4 this afternoon, coming up at 4 o'clock. But the Mets aren't even fully clicking yet. So while we could say, well, yeah, the Dodgers are going to get healthy and their bullpen, and, you know, Dave Roberts talking about how, well, we just want to survive until we get healthy. That's great. But the feel, if you're paying attention, the feel that you had with the little engine that could Mets a year ago versus the feel that the Mets are right now, the Mets are better. And at the very least, they're on equal footing. The gap has been closed. I think they're better. I mean, they have the best record in the National League. What would make me say that the Mets aren't the better team? While the Dodgers could get healthier, so could the Mets. Sean Manaea working his way back. Frankie Montas going to be an addition to that rotation. A rotation that's been so good. Griffin Canning, an afterthought. The guy had a 5 ERA, for goodness sake. He's mowing down Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. A guy that normally those guys would feast on. Griffin Canning mowing him down. Paul Blackburn mowing down the big, bad, mighty, unbeatable Los Angeles Dodgers. Mets showing resilience after blowing a game that they could have won. Should be up 3-0 in this current series. And you're seeing Lindor, and we haven't even seen it fully unleashed yet, but you're seeing Lindor, Soto, and Alonso all clicking together at once. Forget about what could happen at the bottom of the order or the rest of the guys, whether it's Nimmo, you know, Vientos is banged up. You know, Mauricio maybe can find it. I know he's still working his way in here, just a few games. Beatty, Alvarez, maybe they get a center fielder. The Mets still have room to improve here. But their staying afloat is a lot better than others. And they don't look afraid, nor should they. They don't look less than. They don't look like the little engine they could. They look like a well-oiled machine that expects to win. And they have really with any. Really, the only good team the Mets have not taken a series from has been the Yankees, where they lost 2 out of 3 and did not look good in that series. Beat the Cubs, beat the Dodgers, swept the Phillies. It's all coming together. Now, it's June. You got to be coming together in October. But I don't know how you can't be thrilled. The Mets have weathered the early season storm. The slow start from Soto. The injuries to a rotation that many, including myself, questioned coming into the year. David Stearns, I'm sorry. You're a damn genius. I will never doubt you again. Ever. I mean, look at what they've done. And you have to think that they're only going to get better. Does it mean they're perfect? No. They're going to make moves, though. They know this is a team that's going to go try to win a World Series, and they'll fine-tune it. You have the trust of the, you know, you trust the president, you trust the owner, they'll invest, and you trust they're going to make the right moves. And the players have followed suit doing their job. And what a freaking joy it is to watch.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm here to go, take it. I don't know if this curse is in this. No, it's all right. PT and Sal back on the fan. We're talking Mets. We talked a little bit of Yankees. Let's talk Mets-Yankees hypothetical trade right now. I actually thought about this one a couple of weeks ago. Now, it's never going to happen. We know that. But the Yankees have a clear need at third base. The Mets have an abundance of guys who could play third base. Now, you could argue if you like their skill set or if you think they're good enough, but Beatty, Vientos, Mauricio, you've got Jeff McNeil, you throw him in the mix. Acuna, like the Mets have a bunch of guys that they could go with. Why not a little one for one to make the pieces to the puzzle fit better? Which of those, the group of potential third base options for the Yankees, BT, you move Jazz back to second, pick one of those third basemen, which one would you want?
Beatty.
Now, Beatty's a young player, under control, good defensive third baseman, potential offensively, lefty bat at Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what I would want in return. Now, you have two DHs.
Mm-hmm.
I want Ben Rice.
No, not making that trade.
See, now you're...
Not making that trade.
Now, you're foolish because you're not making the pieces fit better. Right? You could have John Carlos Stanton come back from DH.
No, I'm good.
Ben Rice might be on the bench come postseason.
Well, but he's going to be playing first base next season and probably first base the season after that and very possibly the first base position for the next couple of years. I mean, Goldie's been terrific. That's proven to be a very astute signing.
You want somebody else? Dollars. You want Beatty plus?
No. I mean, I don't really see anything that appealing.
In terms of players that you're ready to trade. Yeah, pick an arm.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, so... We have to understand that even though it's a fun conversation, we've got to lace a few elements of reality into this. As we know, Stanton's got a no trade, so we'd have to be okay with that.
Right.
If Stanton's involved in this in a hypothetical, get the bat the Mets might need.
The reason why I even bring Ben Rice up is because Stan's coming back and he's not getting traded, right? Because you would think he's untradeable, whatever. He's got the no trade clause and the Mets wouldn't want him. And you're talking about two young players that are under control with potential. Yes, Rice has shown more than Beatty, but who knows? Look at the sample size. Like, you have no idea. Mm-hmm. Next year, it could be a totally different story. Beatty could be all of a sudden a premier third baseman in baseball. Like, I don't think that's crazy to say. Vientos, if I would have brought this up last year, I'd be like, come on, Vientos. And now it's like, or last year, it'd be like, oh my God, Vientos, one of the bright young stars in the game. Now this year, Vientos is down. You could have him too. Either one, Beatty or Vientos, you would choose Beatty.
No question.
But I think the pieces fit better. And again, I know it's not going to happen, but the pieces fit. The Mets need a DH, potential first baseman next year if Alonso walks. Mm-hmm. The Yankees could use a third baseman. Mets just move Mauricio over or Vientos.
Well, I don't know if the Mets, the Yankees is probably going to have Lombard coming up next year.
And he's going to play third?
I don't think they're going to move him to short.
Well, why not?
I mean, I'm not saying that that's not something that I would explore. And maybe punt Volpe over to second. I don't think that they're necessarily inclined to do that.
So he's going
to
play third next year?
I would think so. Yeah. I didn't check what he's doing in the trip. Got called up to AAA a couple of weeks ago. Got off to a rough start.
What about Spencer Jones? Where's he playing?
He's a strikeout. What did I tell you was told to me by somebody in the Yankees organization?
I forget what you said.
He'll never hit at this level. I told you that. Yeah, I told you that.
This was this year.
This was last year.
No,
this was
year.
Coming into the season.
This year.
Coming into this season.
Yeah, right.
And I said, what about Jones? He runs like the wind. He's got a rocket. He was a pitcher. I know he throws 95 where he did. You know, he hits bombs. He's 6'6". He's got the profile. Can't hit the secondary stuff. Like, that's what I was told. And you look at his numbers. I know I'm kind of branching off into something different. But you look at his numbers in the minors. He is a strikeout machine. And if there's one thing that's been proven, if you strike out a ton in the minors, you're just going to strike out a ton in the bigs. You just are.
See, and by the way, the Mets might not need to make that deal. Let's say Beatty is the third baseman and Mauricio could be the DH. And Vientos, who's struggling, he just doesn't see as much playing time. Like, the Mets have a lot of options to make things fit.
Yeah.
I like the potential of Ben Rice better than I do any of those other guys, which is why I would do it, which is why you wouldn't, of course. It's the same thing. But you can't argue that the Yankees right now, like, where's Ben Rice going to play? See, to me, the idea of Beatty or Vientos for the Yankees would be better than Ben Rice being on the bench in the postseason. You cannot play Giancarlo Stanton, Ben Rice, Bellinger, Grisham, Dominguez, Judge, and Goldschmidt. You can't.
You're talking about this year or moving forward?
This year.
No, you're right.
Well, in general, they can't. They can't fit all those guys in.
I don't disagree, but now, you know, Bellinger's not going to be here long term unless he loves it and they love him, et cetera. Same with Goldie. It's definitely a logistical issue that I really don't know how the Yankees are going to resolve it. Usually this stuff resolves itself. Somebody gets hurt, just as somebody's on the out, somebody else gets hurt, this guy gets a chance, he performs or doesn't. But there are not a ton of interchangeable pieces. Like, I think the optimal Yankee lineup, to your point, and I'll give you credit, you said this a while ago.
Yeah.
I think you even said this to Aaron Boone when we had him on the show.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you brought this up. And you're right. Like, there's only so many ways to manipulate the lineup with the best hitters or the hitters we perceive to have the highest potential for impact. But position-wise, you can't play them all.
There's just
no way. It's impossible.
Even if you just focus on the three, Ben Rice, Goldschmidt,
and Stanton. Yeah.
Rice, Goldschmidt, Stanton. There's no way you're getting all three of those
Rice,
guys in the lineup.
Stanton, Goldschmidt, yes.
So which one are you taking out?
Well, again, if it's a lefty, I'm going to run out Stanton. Not that Rice can't handle lefties.
So now you have a lineup. That's fine. Now you have a lineup with Ben Rice on the bench. And then go to the outfield. Dominguez, Bellinger, Grisham, Judge.
You
can't play all four. One of them is going to be out.
Well, that agreed. And Grisham's numbers have dropped a little bit.
Okay.
He's still proven to be very viable, but we knew he wasn't going to hit 330, whatever it was. OPS was through the roof. He's starting to come back to, you know, really who he is. No disrespect. I think if it's a lefty, I think you sit him down. I think if it's, you know, now,
right.
If it's a lefty and Dominguez doesn't show a ton of prowess from the right side, which has been pretty spotty so far, well, I'm not moving mountains to get him in as a righty hitter if he doesn't show that he's an above-average righty hitter, which to this point he is not.
Right.
Showing signs, but not there yet.
Here's a better trade offer.
Go ahead.
Because you would say Rice is untouchable at this point from a Yankee perspective?
No, untouchable, strong.
But
for Beatty, like untouchable in the baseball universe or this Yankee Met hypothetical. He's not untouchable. There's no way he's untouchable.
But not in this type of
trade. The Pirates say we want this guy, and Ben Rice for Skeens, trade done.
All right, but you're not doing Rice for Beatty. Okay.
I'm not doing that.
How about Grisham?
Grisham for
Beatty.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Okay, but that fits. Now, the Mets are giving up more because you're giving up control and potential with Brett Beatty, but the Mets are getting a proven commodity in Grisham that they plug in center field. I'd rather have him than Cedric Mullins. We brought up Mullins before.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Grisham.
Yeah.
He's proven in New York.
Yeah,
he can play center field. He's going to give you good defense out there. He's been proven in the postseason before against the Mets as a member of the Padres.
He's a great center fielder.
I think the pieces fit better. And for the Yankees, it solves the problem. Like, obviously, it's going to hurt a little bit to lose Grisham, but you have Bellinger who plays center. You got Dominguez in left field. You can find a fourth outfielder, not a big deal. Like, I wouldn't worry about that. And from the Mets, they get their center fielder.
Not bad.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Just to finish this up, you know, and I thought he was still in Double A, right? Not Lombard. Yeah. You know, Spencer Jones is still in Double A. He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
He's not even a Triple A.
You didn't want to trade him for Corbin Burns 2 years ago.
Well, good thing, because Corbin Burns is done. You see what happened? He walked off the mound the other night. Probably he's probably done for the year. Yeah, but I did not. I thought he was going to.
And not just you, the Yankees didn't.
I know. I thought he was going to be phenomenal. I mean, he's got 45 strikeouts in 29 games, and he's hitting .240 in Double A. He's going to be 25 soon.
Yeah,
you're 25 years old in Double A.
I wouldn't trade a bag of balls for him.
I don't go that far.
He's not a loser. He's just not a good player. I wouldn't call him a loser, but I wouldn't trade a bag of balls for him.
In the sporting sense, of course.
Yes, of course. Yep. You got to preface that. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to Francisco Alvarez and the Mets. Dave is on Long Island. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Dave.
Quick thing about what's his face, Alvarez. I'm tired of him. When he first came back after he got hurt, he was swinging the bat well. He was staying contained within himself. And then all of a sudden, you know, he got a couple of hits. He got a little bit of success. And then he went back to his old self again. They were talking about it last night on the postgame. Now he's just swinging for the fences again. I'm done with this kid. I'd rather have Torrens in there.
Well, Torrens has been playing the majority of the time. He's been the better catcher. And thanks for the call, Dave. Alvarez, though, today's the day not to pick on Alvarez. He finally showed up last night, had a big hit.
That's going a big
the
other one.
Way. Yeah, I mean, big come hit. On. He had a couple of base knocks last night and a big one. I don't understand why fans are giving up on the potential of Francisco Alvarez yet.
They're frustrated by him, man.
But he's not hurting the team necessarily.
Like, but he's not what he was supposed to be. I mean, you know, if, let's say, I mean, the comparable Yankee prospect, is it Dominguez? I mean, if Dominguez was a zero last year, and, you know, even though he did have 23 home runs a couple years ago, so maybe it's not the best example. I think the frustration is that his approach is whacked out. And I don't blame Alvarez. I blame the Mets on that. You know, organizationally, we talk a lot about what they do from a pitching perspective, and the results are there, and it's working. But there's also the other aspect of what are you doing to develop young hitters? And I don't now, not the right day to really get after Alvarez because of that double. There's no question in a big spot. But he seems like he's swinging to hit one 500 feet every time up.
Right.
And I know that I strongly surmise that that's not the Mets organizational philosophy, because I don't really think it's any philosophy at this point. But whatever their philosophy is, they're not teaching him well enough, or he's not receptive enough or able to apply it enough to make Met fans feel good about the prospect that he once was. The star has dimmed. It's okay to say that.
Yeah, no, but that's fine. It doesn't mean that the star is never going to come back or the lights won't get brighter.
I gotcha.
There's good potential there. And also, he's not. I mean, the Mets have the best record in the National League. Alvarez has done squat. Torrens is a solid ball player. So why do we need to pick on Alvarez? Think about the options to replace him. And by the way, on the broadcast last night, I don't know if you caught this, they talked about potentially sending Alvarez down.
I didn't catch that.
They said sending him down to the minors. Gary Cohn brought it up. And it was an insightful thought, like something that didn't really cross my mind.
Mm.
But it's not a bad thing. Send him down. Let him get his mind straight for a couple of weeks. Dominate in AAA and bring him back up. Maybe they could do that. But what are the other options? Like, what are the Mets going to do? Hayden Senger or whatever his name is? Like, that's what you're going to do instead of Alvarez? Look at the catchers around the league. The Mets are fine at catcher. The potential with Alvarez is better. Trying to fix him and send him down to the minors, I'm fine with that, too, if that's what they feel is best for the organization. But I wouldn't go, and now, especially not after last night, but I wouldn't go nuts about Francisco Alvarez.
And it's not like he's hitting 190. I mean, he's hitting almost 250. Where, you know, I get it. He's just been so up and down. Like and Sal, here's what I think it is too, aside from his approach, which I don't like his approach at all. I like Beatty's approach. I liked and still kind of believe in Vientos' approach. I don't like how he approaches at bats. I there's no variance. Like, his approach doesn't fit the moment. It's just too, he doesn't adapt to the situation. And that maybe that comes with age, to be fair to the young man.
I think the biggest problem is that the power just has not been there. Even last year when he came back off the IL, the power's not there because you look at his slugging and all that stuff. But you mentioned his batting average. Lindor, .285. Alonso, .284.
I know McNeil's in the 240s, right?
And Terrence, 263. Of all the guys who play, McNeil's 244. Yeah, Terrence, 263. Three guys have a higher batting average than Alvarez.
Is that it?
Well, I mean, looking at this lineup, yeah. Unless I'm missing something here. Lindor, 284.
Acuna's back in the 240s now.
230, 180, 280. So Lindor, Alonso, Beatty, 242. McNeil, 244. Acuna, 246. Alvarez, 247.
Here's what it is, too, though. I really do.
263.
I got you. Aside from the approach thing. I really do think that in a lot of ways, by looking, he's had moments where he's looked really good.
Yeah.
And he's kind of set the wheels in motion for Met fans to look at him as a bit of a prodigy. And then you combine that with his status throughout baseball, the prospect list and all that stuff. Met's number one prospect for a while. And the flirtations with being that guy, but then they've been pulled back so fast. I think if it just came up and he was a scrub from the jump, then Met fans could say, all right, we've seen this before with other guys. It happens throughout baseball. It's very tough to forecast baseball, unlike other sports. But because he's teased them a little bit, they want more, and I don't blame them.
BT and Sal on the fan. Colin is in Tom's River. What's up, Colin?
Hey, BT, Sal. I love the show, guys. I was just curious if this hypothetical Beatty Beatty trade goes through. How much money do you think he's going to pay for Soto's number over in Queens?
With Ben Rice wearing
22? Get it back?
Yeah, no chance. Rice couldn't afford it. Rice could not afford Soto's number. Thank you for the call, Colin. We assume that's all you want to talk about. We appreciate you checking in. Yeah, if Ben Rice, in fact, were traded to the Mets, he'd have to pick a different number.
Were you a numbers guy? Like, when you got your jersey, and back then, I think uniforms are such now where you really get to pick it more.
Yeah.
Like back then, you almost got whatever they handed out, you got.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a young kid, it was fun to get the number of your favorite player. Like, if I were doing it now, I'd want 22.
Yeah.
Or Soto.
No, I got you.
Just specify.
Understood.
But you wanted 23. You Manning.
Oh, it's huge numbers guy. Yeah, no, huge. Like, to me, it just felt different.
I think the better trade would be, or the more realistic trade, not the better trade. I tried with Rice. You got to come in high.
That was a good one, by the way.
I
wasn't even thinking about Ben Rice. Shut it down, but not a bad offer.
All right, but then I counter with, all right, we'll take Grisham. Make it like, you can still have your guy you want.
Yeah.
And that stands for Viento. Now, I'm giving up a lot here.
How about Beatty and Peterson?
No chance. For Rice?
Yeah. Come back to the table.
Beatty, Peterson.
For Rice.
I would need Rice and Grisham if I'm doing Peterson. Or Peterson straight up for Rice.
No, it's not enough for me. I like Peterson. Good. I've always said that. You know that.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do that. I ultimately don't think I'd give up on Peterson. He's a valuable piece in that rotation. I stayed up for that whole thing last night. I was expecting some pain after Diaz blew that save, but no, the Mets come back after blowing the lead and win a game. And look, this is now 3 of 4 for the Mets against the Dodgers this year. I feel like the Mets have closed the gap from where they were a year ago. Remember, Soto hasn't even really taken off yet. He hasn't made his presence felt as far as it goes either this season or head-to-head against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets pitching is only getting healthier, getting deeper. I think they're a better ball club than they were a year ago. I know the Dodgers are big and bad, and everybody says they're unbeatable. Well, I've seen 4 games between the Mets and Dodgers. Mets have won 3 of those. I believe the Mets have closed the gap with the Dodgers.
Well, they better, because last year in the NLCS, they lost 9-0, 8-0, 10-2, and 10-5. So congratulations on slicing into that gap, big boy. Congrats. Honestly, that's a great win. That was a great, you know, the moral or the, I guess, the morale, I should say, of the team. When your closer blows one away like that, that's an easy way to slink into a loss on the road. So I'm not trying to minimize the win, but let's tap the brakes here, dude. I mean, they got absolutely stoned in the championship series against the Dodgers. Like, it wasn't even close.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think was the biggest reason for the disparity between the two teams if you go back to the NLCS a year ago?
Well, based on the score, you know, the Met pitching just couldn't hold down the
Bingo.
Dodger bats.
Now,
the Met offense didn't do much, but the Met pitching got hit hard.
Agree with that. I would say 2 things, but I was getting to the pitching part of it. I feel like the Mets pitching is in as good a spot as it's ever been. It's now year 2 with Stearns. Obviously, we know what Hefner's done. We heard about the pitching left. Dude, Paul Blackburn coming off the IL, he throws 5 scoreless. I mean, against the Dodgers, you got David Peterson mowing the Dodgers down and getting Ohtani last week. Everybody that the Mets have thrown out there this year has been, at the very least, solid, if not flat out good or dominant. and they've even gotten going yet. No Sean Manaea on the year. Frankie Montas coming back. Now, I don't love Montas, but again, with the Mets, I mean, I don't love Griffin Canning and his 5 ERA either. So the Mets pitching is not only good, but it's deep. I feel very comfortable about that. We're not even talking about any acquisitions that they can make at the trade deadline just yet. I feel like their pitching goes up against the Dodgers better this year. And when you add Juan Soto to the mix, specifically in the postseason, Sotober. I think that the gap, I think you can make a good argument. Now, I don't want to go nuts about overreacting to regular season.
No, you're not going nuts. The first thing you said is they closed the gap, they did this. But Sal doesn't want to go nuts. It's still early.
They do have the best record in the National League. They have taken 3 or 4 from the Dodgers. They did sweep the Phillies. They took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs. All these are the best teams in the National
League. They played well against good teams. All right, so I'm going to admit, listen, clearly the Mets are good. There's no doubt about it. The Mets are a good baseball team, right? They're well run. I think they're well managed. I think they're a good team with potential to get better because you know Soto's going to do some damage. And Mauricio is coming up.
I like it.
You should. I mean, I'm actually really excited to see him play baseball. I have to get past something here, though. And but it's actually on the Mets to make me get past it. I look at the lineup. And once you get past a certain spot, and that certain spot is just too early in the order for me, I look at the last 4 or 5 slots, I'm like, I know they've got the best record in the NL. It just doesn't strike me as that kind of a powerhouse. But they don't look that way.
But doesn't that make you more encouraged knowing that or feeling that they're going to get better? Because if guys aren't clicking, you saw Alvarez last night with a big hit, maybe that gets him going a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's more encouraging. Like, you're right. Sometimes you can watch a team and be like, man, how the hell do they have the best record in the National League? But they do. And it's encouraging because Soto hasn't gotten going yet. Manaea hasn't taken the mound yet. Montas hasn't been there yet. I think Alvarez hasn't gotten going. Nimmo's starting to look a little bit better in the 2-0. Vientos has been a 0 so far. I know he's going to be out,
the hamstring.
Which is why they bring up Mauricio a little bit here. But the Mets, it's not even like the Mets are clicking on all cylinders, whereas last year, I feel like, and we could tie the Knicks into the conversation to use as a reference point, where the Knicks maxed out last year. Even at their best, I never felt like they could beat the Celtics or win a championship. With the Mets last year, if they maxed out, I didn't feel like they were good enough to beat the Dodgers. You just saw it. Not only did they run out of steam, but they ran into a team who was better than they were. I don't think that's the case. I'm not saying the Dodgers don't have more talent. I mean, the Dodgers are oozing talent out the wazoo. They got guys that are hurt that you could field an all-star team with. So we know that. But I don't look at the Dodgers as unbeatable, and I think the Mets have another level to go still. And right now, they have the best record in the National League.
I think the Dodgers have another level to go up as well. Fair. Dodgers are a little bit banged up. I want to see what happens with the Phillies. Again, this is all under the understanding that the Mets have themselves a good baseball team. And listen, I'm happy you brought the Knicks up. One of the biggest differences here, like we sat, and obviously as the playoffs started, it was Knicks every single day. Whereas during the season, we just kind of cherry-pick big stories. Oh, they're playing the Celtics, playing the Thunder, playing the Cavs, whatever. And most of us, based on the 0-10 record, formulated this belief that the Knicks were not good enough to win the championship. Not only last year, but also this year, right? Now, I was more bullish on that point than you. You were actually more bullish on them to maybe break through.
I was giving them a chance.
You were giving them a chance more than me. A lot of us just kind of looked at that and said, nah, bad matchup. Knicks don't have this. The other teams do. Baseball is so different. I mean, baseball is just, and listen, as a Mets fan, I think maybe one of the greatest examples, it's a million years ago, but the 1988 Mets ran circles around the 88 Dodgers. That Dodgers team was like a JV team in terms of talent compared to the Mets, and what happened? The JV team won because the Mets choked one away, because that's baseball. And I just say that because there's going to be flows in this season, despite how the Mets look now. There's going to be points when the pitching gets rocked, where Pete's 1-for-20, where Lindor, who's been terrific the last couple of games, certainly in June, and most of the season he's been very good, he cools off. Once that happens, what's left? And I'm not saying that there's nothing. I just don't think, right, without a trade, without one big bat trade, I don't think that there's enough for them to coast the rest of the year. They're not that kind of team.
See, I felt last year to what you were saying, like, okay, well, any team in baseball is different on any best of 5 or best of 7 series. Maybe the baseball, even the team that's not the best team could go out there and win a series. That's what needed to happen last year, in my opinion, with the Mets. I don't feel that this year. I feel like they are on equal footing with the almighty, unbeatable LA Dodgers. Doesn't mean that they're guaranteed to beat them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that I'm putting that much stock in 3 out of 4. Just the feel.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, look at the National League, right? We looked at, coming into the season, even coming into the season, and I admit, even after Juan Soto, Even after the Mets got Soto coming in the season, our conversation was, okay, well, just make the playoffs.
Or maybe the third best team of the division. Bingo. To that point. Yeah, I thought that.
That's exactly right. Same thing. All right, Phillies, man, they're tough. Oh, Braves, they're going to be back tough. I don't feel that way anymore.
Nor should you with that. I would agree with that.
I look at the Phillies as less than the Mets. I look at the Braves as less than them. Way less. The Braves are in fourth place. I mean, the Braves are dead.
No, stop. No, they're not dead.
Oh, the Braves
are dead. They're not dead. You know they're not dead.
The Braves
I think
are
you
dead.
Know they're not dead.
27 and 31. They're the 10 not games dead. Back.
What were the Mets at this point last year? They were 11 games under.
The Braves are dead. And at the very least, I don't look at those two teams as being better. I think the Mets are better at the very least on equal footing. But same thing, Cubs. Okay, yeah, they're good. Yeah, they're sure they could beat the Mets, but I don't look at them as better. I don't think that there is a clear roadblock the way that I did last year with, hey, the Dodgers, the Braves, the Phillies, even though the Mets beat the Phillies, you still get the point.
Yep.
Or going into the season, oh, God, Dodgers, Braves, Phillies, I don't see that anymore.
Okay, so because you brought the Knicks up and I brought them up, I'm going to weed the Knicks into these and ask you a question about the Mets. Because you asked me yesterday, is this a success or a failure for the Knicks? What was my answer?
You said failure.
It was, to me, it was an absolute failure. Some disagree. That's fine. It's an interesting conversation. The way you feel about the Mets right now, if there's no, you know, God forbid, season-altering injuries, and I want health for all the, certainly for our teams, do you believe it's a failure if they don't get to the World Series? You almost have to feel that way now. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know if you believe what you're saying.
I'm going to pull a BT right
now. No, you can't pull a BT with this.
I need to see.
You can't.
I need to see the optics of it. No, I think if the Mets fall short, I think the Mets are at a spot that anything less than a World Series win is going to be a disappointment.
World Series win?
Win. Win.
I respect the answer.
I'm swinging with the big boys.
You know what? I respect the answer. That's not my answer for the Mets. I don't think they're quite that yet. But I respect the answer.
Remember last year I was saying, like, I'm not going to accept this.
Yes.
I'm not accepting.
I remember that.
Oh, okay, just make the playoffs. Uh-huh. No, like, to me it wasn't good enough for all wait till next year. So I have high expectations for a team that, you know, has beaten me down as a fan for how many years here. They're back up on the upswing here. I would be. Now, again, it's a crapshoot in the postseason. We get it. So you can look at it and say, hey, it was still a fun year. They fell short of the ultimate goal. But I don't think I could sit here and say, well, just get to the NLCS. They did that a year ago. They're better this year. They have Juan Soto. So, and maybe it's, okay, we'll get to the World Series and lose. But then I start thinking, yeah, well, I've seen that before, too. I can't accept getting to the World Series and losing. I think the Mets have as good a chance. I don't know what the odds say, but I think the Mets are as good a team. Forget about it, as good of a chance. I think the Mets are as good of a team as anybody in Major League Baseball, and there's no way at this point that I would accept anything less than winning a World Series.
We talked about the strengths. What's, like, we talked about the Knicks as well, defense, whatever. What's the Mets' ultimate weakness? What, there's got to be one thing where you look at, you're like, as good as I'm feeling now, and as much as I believe what I'm saying, there is an area of concern that eventually, you know, could come to roost. What would it be?
I think there are two things.
I got mine.
Okay.
I don't like the bottom of the lineup. I just don't think it's good enough.
Okay, so
gotta make a trade.
I'll give you the one thing I would think is that they need either another bat or they, like, let's say Mauricio comes up and he just rakes. And now you keep him even when Bientos comes back healthy or whatever, or Beatty, you get him playing time at third, you have Mauricio DH. The Mets are gonna need another bat at some point. I think that's a weakness, their lineup not being at least pre-Soto. Now, if Soto starts going along with Lindor and Alonso, that should be enough to, they'll get some contributions from the bottom of the order. That's my lesser of the two concerns. My main concern, and this is kind of unknown here, is will the pitching hold up for the duration?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I think they're doing it with smoke and mirrors,
yeah,
because I believe that what they're doing is sustainable and it is real. David Stearns has proven, Hefner has proven that they can find guys and maximize their ability and have success. Whether it's 5 innings, 6 innings, doesn't matter. I believe in that. What I'm unsure of is Clay Holmes going to be this in October when he's already at his max innings? Is, you know, whoever, pick a guy. Is Griffin Canning going to be
McGill?
Yeah, Tyler McGill. And again, if Manaea and Montas come back, that should offset a little bit.
Yep.
Is the overtaxing of the bullpen from opening day till June 2nd, whatever it is now, is that going to eventually take its toll on the bullpen and not be fresh in the postseason? Because it is about the postseason. That's my number one concern. Will the pitching hold up in October against the best lineups in baseball?
So it's less about talent for you. And for me, again, based on the start of the conversation, you know, not are they good, but are they basically the best team? For me, it is talent. Because from the Right past, I just don't like past Pete. I mean, every night, whether I'm watching the game or the box scores, I see 230, 240, no homers. Like, they need another stick. I'm less concerned about the pitching and more concerned about the offense myself. And by the way, Diaz is no sure thing at the end.
I know, but who is?
Well,
you know, I mean, he's been perfect up until last night. He's actually looked, you know, not that he's ever going to be 2022 again, but he's looked as good as he did pre-WBC injury prior to last night, which was predictable. You know it. Oh, 13 for 13 going in those West Coast games. You stay up late, you're going to get tortured. Generally, you blow that game, and then the Mets, it would have been easy to lose that game, so that's why I give him credit to win. I'm not worried about Diaz. I mean, yeah, I mean, stuff happens, but give me the better closers in baseball that you feel confident. Obviously, we'll get to the Yankees and Luke Weaver losing one of the best closers in baseball,
yep,
and they're going to replace him with a former best closer in baseball. But we'll get to the Yankees part of things a little bit later on. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan, starting with the Mets off of their big win last night. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you, better Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Charles is in Deal. What's up, Charles?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
All right, so, BT, I disagree with you. I not disagree, but I just took a little bit of question to what you said. You said that what's going to happen when Alonso struggles, when he cools off. I mean, the Mets just played probably their toughest stretch of games that they're going to play in a while.
They just played the Rockies!
Dude, they just had the Red Sox who played them in Fenway when they were in their worst
form.
They played the Yankees, they played the Cubs, they played the D-backs, they played the Dodgers. Yeah. What are you talking about? And they just had Alonso just came off a 3-week stretch where he hit 125 with a 460
OPS. I hear you on
that. Just had a 4-for-40 stretch. So they were just struggling and they held it afloat. And now they're getting going again. Lindor's hitting the ball again. He's hitting for more power. Maybe that Rockies series woke him up a little bit. Soto looked better in that series. That's what those series are for. You got to take advantage of those teams. So they just played a tougher stretch of team outside of the Rockies and White Sox. This is part of the easier part of the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have the Dodgers mixed into there. So the offense, the two guys that were carrying them were struggling, and now they're heating up again, and they held it afloat. So that's not what I would be concerned about. And as for the pitching, the fact that, you know, this is something we always talk about with teams, right? It's what is their identity? This is what the Mets' identity is. They find guys that they believe they can develop and make better, and they do it. And last year they did it, and this is not just the Mets thing. David Stearns has done it his entirety of his career, dating back to the Brewers. He finds guys that nobody believes in, or at least that people don't believe in anymore, and he finds a way to get the best out of them. So I don't see the pitching falling off, and they just got through a stretch of where Alonso and Lindor were struggling. So I think this team's very good, and they're going to be fine and compete with the best of them.
I'll tell you what, it's a good call. You laid out well, Charles. And one thing I'm going to give you credit for, I think it's a sound way to look at any team. You're never as good as you look on your best day, never as bad as you look on your worst, obviously. But to me, a pretty good indicator of the upside of a baseball team is when your top two hitters, you can even say your best hitter, but in the Mets' case, their top two hitters have gone through a little funk. You know, what happens to the actual product overall? Do you lose 7 of 8, or do you still find a way to grow? Now, it helps that you play the Rockies, but you're right. As you pointed out, the schedule before that was, you know, pretty arduous. And I think that is a sign that they're connected. And I think that's a very good thing. I wish the Mets did one thing great. I don't think that there's anything that they do great. I definitely don't love their defense. I don't love their lineup, and I don't fully trust not the talent or the usage in the lab, so to speak, but the ability for these guys to go from, you know, April 1 through the end of October with all these innings and all these things and all these challenges. I just don't know that they do one thing great, and every champion does. That's a pushback there. Like, can you guide me there?
Understood. What do you think has the best chance to be great of this Mets team as currently constructed?
The first part of their batting order.
Bingo.
That's the first part.
Lindor.
Yeah.
He has been great. Alonso, for the most part this year, has been great and certainly better than, I mean, the guy's hitting almost three. What is he hitting?
I think he's down about 285. Now it's sunk. I looked today. I think he's 285, 284.
Alonso, 284.
I mean, that's sinking fast, though. Dude, he's hitting 370 for a while.
Well, that's
No, I know, but who knows if he's going to stay at 284. He might want the 250 soon.
Lindor's been great.
He's been very good.
Alonso was great in April, not so much in May. Maybe he levels out a little bit, but still, prolific power, and we know Soto's got, he's going to be great. It's just a matter of when he's going to be great, and that would be, see, that's why where last year they didn't have that, BT. Now they have at least the potential with Soto being in the mix
mm-hmm.
to be a great top three of an order. And then the rest of the guys, like somebody's going to contribute. Obviously, it can't just be three guys. The pitching is, I like it. There's no ace there, but it's solid. They've got guys with good potential. Manaea, Senga could be aces on any given night. But I like the well-rounded nature of their staff. Not just the starting rotation, but the area to be great is Lindor, Soto, Alonso. And once those guys start clicking together, then I think they could go to another level.
What was the score last night? Was it 4-3? 4-3, right? Yeah. Just since we're on the topic of scores. 9-zip, 8-zip, 10-2, 10-5.
What was
it? You got a lot of gap to make up from the NLCS. That's the Dodgers when they're kind of healthy.
Before we throw one more, before we go to break, can I throw one score at you? Can you take a guess what it is?
18-2.
18-2.
Well, that's all right, man. That's all right.
Yankees are, I think the Yankees, what are they now? If you go back over the last, how many games against the Dodgers have they played? If you go back to the World Series, well, they played 5 last year, and then they played 3 this year. It doesn't seem like the Yankees have won. The Yankees are 2-6 in the last 8 versus the Dodgers. Mets are 5-5 in the last 10.
Well, lucky for us, we don't have to see them to get to the World Series. If we see them, it's because we made it again.
You may want them.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Freshly back from the stadium, free day on a Thursday. I'll see you there tomorrow for Friday as well. Keith McPherson on The Fan. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And I told you I wasn't sweating that loss last night. I tipped my cap last night to the Guardians, Luis L. Ortiz. And what I expected to happen tonight happened. Max Fried is Max Fried and saved by the bell. What the bell, what the belly, and all that smooth jazz. Yeah, Tim Hill holding it down. My boy Lowe back. It's good to see the Yankees go out there and win the ALCS rematch, right? All the hype around the World Series rematch. That's a good team, the Guardians. That's a good club right there. We could end up seeing them in the postseason, and the Yankees went out there and handled business after being shut out last night, after being shut out for what felt like, you know, as this game started, was 12 innings. I'm sitting in my seat. Shout out to my boy Zach. I'm sitting in the seat in the fourth inning, and I'm like, yo, after Belly makes that catch and we're in the fourth inning, I'm like, if they don't score in the bottom of the fourth, we're out of these seats. These seats are bad luck. We got to move. Shout out to WFAN for providing great seats. But I'm superstitious. I've sat in so many seats and sections in there. If we're not scoring, I'm not sitting there. And then what happens next? Judge breaks up the no-no. And then a belly bomb. 888-808-1019. So, you know, going into the game today, Dominguez is back. Yay. Embrace the Martian. Embrace the Martian. I just didn't want that kid to hit the IL. You know, he's been solid. He's been having a good year. You have Weaver go down. You didn't want to see both of them go down, and then, you know, Goldie is able to get some rest, so young Ben Rice gets to play first base, and DJ, too. DJ gets to, you know, take a seat and have a day off. Those guys are 36 and 37 years old. Scheduled rest is needed. It's a long marathon. And, you know, going into this game, the first inning, Max Fried, his pitch count got up there. And you kind of get worried. Anybody would if your starting pitcher has almost 30 pitches in the first inning. I mean, he almost struck out the side to start, but that pesky J-Ram, Jose Ramirez, he does not stop hitting. I just look at him, and I'm like, why did you do this to your career? Why did you decide you wanted to be a Cleveland Indian Guardian, Progressive Field, Ohio, forever? Like, when is his contract up? Like, he should reconsider with all the money that people are making and how good he is. Like, why would you want to stay there? You're not going to win anything there. Anyways, it is what it is. You know, this Slade Ciccione, I knew last night when I was talking about it. I tipped my cap to Luis L. Ortiz, but I'm like, this guy's not about to come in here and shove against the Yankees. And he was doing all right for a little while, but then the Yankees broke through. And the fans were ready because, like I said, that scoreless innings streak was going. And Max Fried, I think I wrote in my notes, Max Fried was at 73 pitches when Slade Ciccione was at 37 pitches. But whatever. 888-808-1019. You know, Fried is a master at work. I think he retired like 11 straight until he gave up a walk. He's the stopper. I think I heard Dave Sims say that he's 7-0 after a Yankees loss. Great. You love to see it. You love to have an ace like that. Because also the narrative last night was, okay, how does Max Fried bounce back from what we saw against the Dodgers? You know, these are two teams that the Yankees faced last year without him. And, you know, I had the thought driving away from Yankee Stadium how solid the team is with guys like Max Fried, like Cody Bellinger that we did not have last year. You know, we'll play some audio from both of them when we come back, but I think this team is better this year. I know there's people that are going to tell you, no, they're not better until we see whether they can get back to the World Series or not. Well, you know, it's hard to get to the World Series. We don't know how that's going to shake out. But I tip my cap to Cashman, adding guys like this that you can count on. And then, you know, Jazz coming back, an immediate impact in this series, picking up, you know, better than he left off. Three hits in a row, had a stolen base, run batted in, and I think he had five hits in the series, making his presence felt. Austin Wells gets a knock. Peraza should have had three hits. That was a robbery. That first one, he smoked. Still an out, but he ends up with two hits. So just a good night at the ballpark. It was hot as hell. It was a sauna out there. I was out there early today. We were working on a little project, and I'm like, it's about to hit 90. I cannot wait to go home. I mean, I can't wait to host this show tonight because there's so much to talk about, but I can't wait to go home and shower. That, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you were out there all day, that shower, some of you are driving home right now from the stadium, do not get in the bed. I don't know what type of time you're on, but do not get in the bed after being out there in Yankee Stadium, sweating in the sun. Rinse off, and rinse off good. I cannot wait to go home and have my shower at 2:30 in the morning and just fall into the bed, pass out, wake up tomorrow, and then the time will go right by, and we're back at the stadium for the Boston Red Sox. 888-808-1019. On my screen in here is not the NBA Finals. We'll talk about it at some point. On my screen is a game that I was listening to at Yankee Stadium. I was listening to Mets Radio 880, and then they cut the Mets on in the bodega. And, yeah, the Mets blew a 4-0 lead to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I know they worked the split, but it probably feels like a loss. I'm not a Mets fan. I don't know how you guys feel, but that's super disappointing, especially when Pete Alonso comes out, paid Pete, who I was talking about last night, talking about this guy getting his money and talking about how this guy saw David Wright out there and he's like, oh, I'm chasing your record down tonight. I mean, he is one away, I believe. You know, Pete Alonso comes out and he hits that home run. And last night he also said, you know, about putting the game behind him because they were looking to take this series on the road and they had it in hand. You hear that Francisco Lindor has a broken right pinky toe. He wasn't in the lineup today. And he was going to try and play through it. But he's day-to-day, so he wasn't in the lineup today. But, okay, you get home runs from Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo, Starlin Marte, and you have an opportunity to take this road series, but you leave runners on in scoring position, a couple mistakes in the infield, and ultimately you leave with the split and you leave with the series, the season series. All right, you got that last night where if the Mets and the Dodgers face off in the postseason, the Mets will have home field advantage, and we expect that to happen. You know, we expect them to cross paths again, but it would have been nice, right? It would have been nice to win this one. It definitely feels like a loss when it's Michael Conforto with two outs doing it to you, former Met, who, you know, I was taking calls about why the Dodgers even waste their time with Michael Conforto, right? The Dodgers don't waste their time with anyone, really. Why is Conforto even in the lineup batting 167? Well, he came through today, And, I mean, David Peterson owns Shohei Ohtani. He goes 7 innings, 7 hits, gives up 3 runs, 6 strikeouts. That last strikeout of Ohtani was awesome. He was fired up, but ultimately, yeah, you lose this one, and it doesn't feel great. But at least you have the Rockies to get right against, and you got to kind of just move on and say, okay, we worked the split. We didn't beat the Dodgers in this series, but we beat them in New York, and we took the season series from them, and we'll see them now sometime, hopefully, in October. So we'll start with the Yankees. We'll start with the Mets, but the NBA Finals are on, and it's getting close here at the end, but no, it's not. It's like I'm not watching. I'm watching the score. I'm watching the Mets encore. Now I guess I can turn to the NBA Finals. I think it's Pacers and I think it's Thunder in 5. I think they'll let the Pacers get one game to extend the series in Indy, but like I don't see OKC losing this. The Pacers are down 6 here with 2 minutes. Anything could happen. But let's see. I'll keep an eye on that. We'll start with the baseball. Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. Daniel Jones. Ooh. All right, I might have spoke too soon. This is giving me some flashbacks of game one with the Pacers and the Knicks.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.